Oh,
hello.
Volume, volume, volume.
See, here we go. Here we go. Okay. Starting up. Almost there.
Blah, blah, almost blah. There.
Almost there. That song. That is a song. From the thing. There we go. Almost there. From The Princess and the Frog. Good song. Disney movie. 2009 Disney movie. Thumbs up.
Guys, I don't remember this movie. I must have missed.
It's a good Disney movie. There's the girl in New Orleans and there's a prince. They both get turned into frogs, and then they go through an adventure to get back, and she gets her, you know, spoilers. She there's a happy ending. Although there are sad things along the way. There you go. Okay.
Disney movies have a tendency to include some sad thing in them. Somebody dies, you know.
Well, it's a whole, like, trope that in almost all Disney movies, the main character's parents die near the beginning.
Die. Right, right. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, you know, I mean, you know, it's really, you know, awful if you think about it.
Yeah. Okay. Shall we go? Here comes. Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner for Saturday, March 28th. 2026. It's just after 16:30 UTC as we're starting to record. I am Sam Minter. Yvonne Bo is back with us again this week. And yeah, so hello, Yvonne. How was Texas?
Very Texan-y.
Very Texan-y?
Yeah.
Did you have good time with all your flights and TSA and all that kind of nonsense?
Absolutely. None of that was an issue.
Okay.
Miami, there's no lines. There's no ICE agents either.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was uneventful. Manu, you know, was discussed a long time ago. The main thing that I was trying to, we didn't have a lot of time for a vacation this year. My wife is taking a class at the university. The spring break for the university doesn't coincide with the spring break for Manu's school. It left very little time for any vacation, okay?
Right.
And so we wound up only going, I was like, I was trying to make sure that Manu could fly somewhere.
Right.
Anywhere. Okay? Uh-huh. Okay? I had been in Texas back for my surgery months back. I had had some blood work with the doctor, with my sister-in-law who's a doctor. She actually wanted to check how it was doing, and so I was like, "Well, what the hell? Let's just all go to Texas. Let's visit my brother. I mean, what the hell? It's not like,
right?
You know." So let's just go. I mean, what the heck? I mean, we visited my brother. I mean, we have a good time. So we did. We went over there. We had a good time. Manu had a great time. Manu, in between the fact that I took him on that flight simulator, I don't know if I discussed that. I can't remember if I know you talked about it on the
Curmudgeon's Corner Slack. I'm not sure you mentioned it on the show.
No. So I, you know, one of the things that I was doing in order to acclimate Manu to get back to flying was that I was able to get him. Book some time at a flight simulator. It looked like a real A320 cockpit.
Just to be clear, we're talking about not like you're running it on your little computer, but
full-fledged cockpit experience. You know, this really felt like it's not completely like the one that pilots use, but it's a very good one. Okay. And you know, it was a full cockpit. Actually, I believe that pilots do use this for ground school, because it's but this is not the ones that they use for certification. Okay.
Okay.
But
so it wasn't the one on a big like hydraulic platform that moves
right.
and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, those are the ones that they use for certification flights and other stuff. But this one for ground school to train, this is good enough to train a pilot on an A320 for ground school. That's for sure. Okay. Make sure that they know how to operate the controls, make sure they know how to set destinations, make sure that they can, everything it replicates truly an A320. I got it. Manu had a blast with it. I had a blast with it. The pilot was a little bit like, it was a little bit, well, he did ask me, do you have any flight experience? And I'm like, yes, I do. It's not been a long time. But the thing is, I sat behind the controls and I've watched enough videos and things and used different flight simulator software that I know what I'm looking at when I'm looking at an A320, you know, display. So when he set it up, I know that I've got the controls. He had set the auto throttles. I didn't have to mess with those. He set the speed. He lined us up for a landing. And I know that on the artificial horizon, what I got to do is when he set it up in the ILS, the thing that Airbus aircraft have is this really cool flight director thing. And the flight director, basically, it's like these couple of things on the artificial horizon where, listen, you just need to keep it lined up with that and you will land the plane. Now, it's not as easy as it sounds. Okay. All right.
Okay. Yeah.
It does take some skill and you using the controls to do it. But if you've had some skill at using the controls to do it, okay, you could do okay. All right. And so I actually did pretty decent with it. And he was like, what the hell? You know, I had some issues with like the actual touchdown itself. And he told me that what he noticed is, well, look, you learn to fly on small planes. Okay. So what happens is that when we're about to land on a small plane, we pull the nose up a lot. Okay. For the landing. All right.
Okay.
You don't need to do as much on an A320. I kept instinctively as it counted down 50, 40, 30, I kept instinctively pulling back on the nose. And so I lofted it a little bit instead of letting it touch down. Okay. So I did that a couple of times, but he told me about it. The second time around that I did it, I got it right on. And he was like, why don't you get your license again? He's a flight instructor. So he gave me his card. I may take him up on it. Right now, there's so much going on, right? I don't want to. I don't have time
add anything
to deal
more.
With it. Yeah. I don't want to add anything more right now. But I definitely left me thinking about it because I really quite enjoyed doing that. Manu had a great time. Manu's main thing that he liked was first fucking with me with the controls, where he was pushing the rudder and kept getting me offline. And I'm like, why the hell am I getting offline? And then the pilot told me, your son's pushing the rudder, and I'm like. And also setting off the alerts.
Okay.
He loved like, you know, pull up. Oh yeah, making it like, you know, pointing the nose down and getting it to yell at me to pull up. Yeah, he liked that. He definitely liked that.
See, this is the thing with flight simulators and kids in general. The fun part is not straight and level flight or takeoffs or landings.
The fun
part is like, can we crash in creative ways?
Yes.
Or can we do flips in a plane that clearly should not be doing flips?
Should not be doing flips. Yeah.
Things like that. Aerobatics in a large airliner, you know?
Yes. Those are not fun for any of the passengers. I know that. I don't know if you, it, in which one, the one for X-Plane.
Yeah.
If you're using it, they actually add a sound where you hear the passengers scream.
Yeah, I use X-Plane all the time, and so does Alex. I've never heard the passengers scream.
Oh, maybe you don't have all the sounds up. You will hear the passengers all of a sudden go. Ah!
Okay, I'll have to get a large. I mean, because Alex has crashed large planes and X-plane quite a few times. I'll have to get that spun up again and see.
If you go and like I keep flying usually like a 777 or 777 simulator a lot. If you go like say push the nose down like really hard where you create like a big G input, okay. You will hear the passengers like scream.
Okay. Got to work on that. Gotta work on that.
Oh yeah, gotta somehow work. I've missed I gotta get that. Get the passengers screaming. So yeah, so
one of the very early videos on his channel is him playing X Plane, and as the plane is doing various things, me in the background saying, "You know, this is why they don't let 6-year-olds pilot planes."
Yes. Yes. Well, I mean, you know, in real life, you had that guy, that Russian pilot that let his kid in the plane and literally did crash it.
I know. Yes.
So, yes, it's been demonstrated in real life. That doesn't work well.
Yes. I mean, not to say that there might not be some very responsible 6-year-olds who could handle it properly. However,
it's not a good idea.
I don't want to be in that plane.
No, I don't want to be on that plane either. Okay. So we flew over there. Look, we gave him a tranquilizer as well. I asked for some tranquilizers. And the first flight, he was a little bit like, he actually, in the last time I tried, he wouldn't even get on the plane. Okay.
Okay.
And he was actually anxious all the way to the airport.
Mm-hmm.
He was fine. He may have been a little bit. Well, oh, let's go to the lounge. I'm like, no, we're not going to the lounge. We don't have time. Okay, we're going straight to the. And when we got to the gate, we were boarding already.
Okay.
So we went straight on and boarded. And he didn't make a fuss. We sat down. He was a little bit anxious on takeoff, but that was it. He was fine. Everything went fine. It was uneventful. Okay. So he likes Dallas Airport. Dallas Airport's quite big.
Okay.
It is the biggest airport in the world. Okay.
Like
really.
Square foot wise or?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is
I know
the biggest airport.
It's not the busiest.
It's not the busiest, but in terms of like size,
sprawl.
Geographically. Yeah. Sprawl. It is
which,
the biggest
which,
airport
which is appropriate
in the world.
For Houston, which also is known for sprawl.
Yeah. But it's at Dallas, not Houston.
Oh, sorry. I got confused. Well, Dallas is known for sprawl too.
Dallas is very, it's a Texas, all of those Texas cities are known for sprawl. And so, you know, he had, the thing is that they have like.
Now I'm hearing the damn theme music from the show. The Dallas
theme music
in my head.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. So we were going around. Look, the airport has the Skylink train, which is very, you know, very difficult to get around that airport without the train. I mean, I know that I've had to one time a long time ago walk from like say Terminal C to Terminal A. That's a lot of walking. Okay, I mean that's a lot of walking.
Uh-huh.
So he likes the Skylink train, and the cool thing about the Skylink, unlike like in Atlanta, they have subway. You don't get to see anything. You're down underground. You go back and forth. But with Skylink, I mean, you get to see the whole airport, you know, you're riding around and you see all the airplanes, all the movements, all the gates. It's very cool to get a full view all of the operations at the airport, just to basically just ride around in Skylink and you can see what the heck is going on. So he liked riding the Skylink. He also was very adamant because we couldn't get on the lounge before departure. We had a long layover to return that he wanted to make sure that we did go to the lounge.
Okay. Very
and,
cool.
To sit down and eat, you know, and things.
Okay. So I didn't say at the beginning, as usual, we're doing lighter stuff at the beginning, and then we will move on to newsy stuff later.
Frothy stuff.
Last time I didn't do any newsy stuff at all. When you were gone last week, I just talked, you know, random other crap the whole time. And I was like, I don't feel like news. I don't feel like news. I'm not doing news. You know,
the news suck.
Yeah.
All the news suck. It sucks. Everything sucks.
So do you have
talk about my job? I don't want to get into any details at work. Things at work have been rough.
Yeah.
I mean, to the point that I wound up at one point even tearing up how bad it was this week.
Yeah. So, anything lighter before I do my stuff? I'm going to replace one of my two movies with a story that I have from a couple weeks ago that I saved for you.
Lighter. Oh, well, okay. I will mention this. I wound up, you know, look, this week, I wound up I went to Texas on Friday. Uh-huh. I came back on Monday. I went to Santo Domingo on Tuesday morning. And I flew back from Santo Domingo on Wednesday night. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Then I had a friend of mine, this very good friend of mine from Brazil that you know, we known him from when I started working at HB almost 30 years ago, for God's sakes. Fucking ridiculous. Well, last minute, he said, hey, I'm coming to town. I'm going to go see tennis. I'm getting there Friday, and I'm getting there on Friday. I'm going to be all week. I'm like, fuck, he's getting here on Friday. I'm like, dude, I'm leaving right now. I'm literally leaving. I'm not coming back until, like, next Wednesday. Okay, we'll see you when you get back Wednesday. So then I texted him, hey, when are you leaving?
Uh-huh.
And he says, Friday morning. It's like, fuck, Friday morning. Shit, So the only night is Thursday. So he was in Miami, which is, you know, it's like downtown, like, you know, like to you to go to downtown Seattle, you know, it's a pain. And I already been to Miami already three times the damn week. And I'm like, fuck, fine. We'll go meet you for dinner. Problem is, of course, you know, having to meet him for dinner, not on the weekend. It was like, hey, let me meet him after work on Thursday. Okay. Fuck, I leave here, rush out. It's just nuts. Okay, so it took like an hour and a half to get to Miami. To give you an example, at 4 a.m. one day that I drove to the airport, it takes me 40 minutes. Okay, took an hour and a half. Okay, to get there, and then to come back, it took 2 hours because Florida Department of Transportation, the geniuses that they are, decided that the construction they were going to do on Thursday night. Hey, I go and I get to this place. You're going on I-95 North, which has four lanes, okay, four or five lanes, you know, northbound. Express lanes closed. So that leaves three or four. It has six. So that took cut it down to four. Then at some point, it splits into the turnpike where you can go take the turnpike or continue on 95 North. Oh, well, the exit to the turnpike is closed. I'm like, fuck. Exit to the turn. And by the way, here's the crazy thing. I think they closed it just as I was driving north because the GPS showed it was open when I was going. And then all of a sudden, traffic built up and it's closed. So they must have just closed it, okay, as I'm driving up. And I'm like, fuck. They closed. Okay. All right. But then it says, hey, lanes closed. On I-95, more lanes closed. Like, more lanes closed. How many fucking lanes could they decide to close? They already closed the turnpike. Look, they had narrowed it down to only one fucking lane. One lane northbound. Okay. When normally you've got six fucking lanes plus the turnpike where people get off, which is an extra three more lanes, nine lanes, and they narrowed this down to one fucking... Listen, you can't close the turnpike and close all the lanes on 95 at the same time. You gotta do one or the other, you cheap fucks. The hell? It was like midnight, and it's the biggest traffic jam ever at fucking 11 o'clock at night. It was just crazy.
Okay.
But when I got to downtown,
yes.
Oh my God, Sam, this whole influencer live stream crowd is just so fucked up, man. So I get to this place. Look, we'll go to this restaurant that I've normally gone to, but the area around it has grown a lot. And I haven't been there. The last time I was there was like 2 years ago. And this has been like a change post-pandemic, by the way. This wasn't like that pre-pandemic. And I get there.
And it's just so crowded. But it's all these young influencers with their media sticks and the things that they're all live streaming to show how they are downtown and we're so cool. And I'm like thinking, could you fucking guys go and like have a good time instead of like trying to string to everybody to tell them that you're having a good time? And all of them are all in these hyper, they're all like in their 20s. And I guess their parents have a lot of money. And they're all in these ridiculously expensive cars. Like all of them are over $400,000 and they're all parked like in this spot, like up there. And they're all like showing themselves live on. I'm like, and I'm trying to avoid all these. Look, I'm just trying to get to this fucking restaurant. I need you all to get the fuck out of my way. For God's sakes. But it was just a bizarre, bizarre look at the modern influencer lifestyle. For more minutes than I really wanted to.
So what you're telling me is after we finish the recording the show, I should just switch from live streaming on my computer to live stream on my phone and live stream the rest of the day, no matter what's going on, no matter what I'm doing.
But you need to go and trade in your car
for a
$450,000 Rolls-Royce SUV.
Oh, I'll get right on that.
Yeah, because that's my style. That's the thing that gets, yes, because that's the thing that apparently gets attention.
Oh, okay. Can I get one of those like sort of kits where I just change the logo of my existing car?
You know that would be even better. I got to be honest with you. Let's just get, yes, let's just do a kit. There's got to be some kind of kit. Hey, turn Ioniq 5 into Rolls kit. Listen, people have done that throughout time. There's got to be a kit. And that would be fantastic. And then we live stream that. Perfect.
There you go.
We are the anti-influencer group. We go in there and we arrive in the kitted out Ioniq 5. Perfect. I love it.
There you go. Okay. My turn. Do you want a movie first or my story first?
Let's go to story first.
Okay. So I had intended to do this last week, but you were out and I decided to save it for when you were here. So this is almost 2 weeks ago now, but I figured you would appreciate this story more than me just saying it to myself last week.
Okay.
Okay. So here's the fundamental deal. 2 weeks ago, Brandy had finished up her session at the legislature in Olympia and, you know, was moving all her stuff out. Okay. So, because she rents a house with another legislator for the months that they're in session. And so she's got all kinds of stuff.
How long is the session? By the way, this is
from early January. Well, it changes by year. Like they have short sessions and long sessions. Election years are shorter. So this is an election year, so it's shorter. So it went from like the second week of January to the second week of March. Okay. So basically
second
2 months.
Week of January to, okay. So to only 2 weeks. Okay. Okay.
2 months. Months. Not
2 months. 2 months. No, two months. Okay.
Yes. And then in the long session, it's like 3 months instead.
Okay.
So,
okay.
And I'm rounding here. It's like, it's not quite, and it's like, whatever. It's close enough. 2 months and 3 months. And so she's got stuff in her office to move. She's got stuff in the place she rented to move because she, of course, brings like all kinds of supplies. She's got stuff because she's going to be there for, you know, a couple months. So it's basically like moving in for a couple months. It's not like the stuff you bring to a hotel for a week, you know.
Right, so, right, right.
You know, so anyway.
Is it like an Airbnb? I mean, what do you get? Do you get like an Airbnb?
An Airbnb. It's a whole house, but it's okay. Yes, they get it through. I don't know if they used Airbnb or some other service, but they rented an entire house. Okay.
Okay.
Her and one roommate. Right.
Okay.
So anyway, or housemate, I should say. They didn't actually share a room. At least I don't think.
Maybe
they did, and they're just not telling me. You know, but you know. Anyway,
I keep forgetting that I call room. You know, I've made that mistake, and you're absolutely right. Like when I had, like, you know, when somebody, you know, shared a one of the rooms in my apartment, they're housemates. They're not a roommate. We didn't share a room. Right.
Right. Exactly. So anyway.
Okay.
So I am at home with Alex. The initial expectation is just she's going to pack up the rest of her stuff and then come home. And it's in the evening. It's and then but around like, I don't know, 8 p.m. or something, she starts telling me that two things, two important notes. One, she's not feeling that good. And two, she's not sure all the stuff will fit in her car. Okay. Like, so she's calling me and she has to be out of the house that night. So like, you know, so there's no like, oh, we'll just do it tomorrow. Okay. So she has to be out of the house that night. So she's working on the stuff. And I ask a few times, like, okay, do I need to, you need me to come down? Do you need a second car? Do you need help? And for the longest time, she's like, no, I got it. I'll figure it out. I got it. Eventually, she's like, yes, I do need you. Okay. By this time, it's like 10:30 p.m. or something. You know, Olympia is like, at least it's the middle of the night. Like, if it was during the day, it's like 2 hours plus to go because of traffic. But, like, in the middle of the night, you can do it in under 2 hours. I mean, you could probably do it in 30 minutes because, you know, you're a maniac on roads. But, you know.
How many miles is it?
I'll tell you. Shit, hold on. It's 67 miles.
Oh, fuck.
So, like, right
now. Wait, how long did you say it was going to take you at night?
Well, right now, if I drove it, at this very second while we're recording, Waze says an hour and 35 minutes.
Oh, fuck that. Let's take I-5 south. I'd be there, Jesus Christ, like 50 minutes tops.
See, the problem is you have to go through downtown Seattle to get there.
Ah. Well, no, okay. But even still, you go through the highway.
On the highway.
Through downtown. Yeah.
Yeah, but there's traffic. You know, so
yeah, but
like,
not at 11 o'clock at night.
No, not at 11 o'clock at night. No. So like I said, you could probably make it in like 30 minutes or some crap, you know, but we're not going to make it in 30 minutes.
No.
Anyway, the point is, I'm not leaving home until like 10:30 or something. I forget exactly time it is. And, you know, and I'm meeting her. And here's the thing. Here's where the story part
starts.
Did you
have a full charge on your car?
I did not. So fuck. Here's where the story starts coming in. Because I had not planned on a long trip. So I was just, you know, trickle charging like I usually do. And I was going to catch up on the weekend. So it was a little low. And I actually had not plugged in that particular time yet that day, even. Because this was before my last procedure and I was in a lot of pain still. And like the last time I had come home, I'd brought Alex home from school or whatever, and I had just gone straight in. Because I had to carry like stuff or whatever, and I was like, I just went in and collapsed. I didn't go back out and plug
the
thing
in. Okay, well,
fuck
it. You got a supercharge somewhere, okay.
Right. So I'm like, no problem. We're going up and down I-5. They're going to be superchargers all over the place. Not a problem at all. Anyway, so, and I checked. It was enough to get there. Just not enough to get back. Okay.
Right.
So, I was like, I'll charge on the way back. I'm not going to bother charging now and then going, because that was an option. I could have charged a supercharger near me, topped up, and then had enough for round trip, right? But I didn't do that. I went down there. I met her at the state capitol because she'd already finished everything at her house, but she needed to get a few more things from her office. And so I met her at the state capitol after midnight, took a picture of the state capitol, posted it to Blue Sky or whatever. And we got the rest of the stuff we needed. I'll mention, this is still me, like I said, before surgery, I'm in pain. Whenever I move, it hurts. Whenever I move, like if I move even a little bit, then the side effect of me moving is I desperately have to pee. Like,
oh, nice.
At least I feel like I have to. Like, and there's a disconnect between how much is actually ready to come out of me versus how I feel. Like, I feel like I'm about to explode. And then I actually get to a bathroom and there's like a few drops.
It's just a squirt.
Yes.
Right.
But in any way, it becomes incredibly desperate. Like if I walk like 30 feet, then it's like, I gotta go. Okay. So anyway, I'm there. I help her with the last couple things. And honestly, I was basically providing just room in my car for these last couple things because she managed to fit everything from her B&B or whatever into her car, but not the extra stuff from her office. So I was providing the back seat of my car and, you know, the trunk of my car for a few extra items. You know, that's basically what I was there for. And so we do that, and then it's like 1 a.m. or something, and I'm ready to go. I'm like, okay, great. I find the closest supercharger. It's only like 2 miles away. No problem. I go to the supercharger, and I go to charge. And she's going off. She decided she was booking a hotel for the night because she wasn't feeling good. She booked a hotel for the night. She was going to sleep and then come home in the morning.
Okay, probably. Yeah, okay. Sensible.
Okay. So I go to the supercharger.
Oh boy.
And I plug in and it says it's charging for 10 seconds and then it stops. And I'm like, well, crap. Okay. Well, I've done this before. At the supercharger near me, this has sometimes happened where one of the chargers doesn't work. I just change to a different parking spot and it works just fine. So I do that. Same thing. Doesn't work. I try a third spot. Same thing. Doesn't work. I'm like, well, shit. And by the way, the process of doing this, I already need to pee again, like because I've been moving to do it. And I'm in the middle of like some parking lot at like a mall. Everything's closed because it's 1 a.m. It's not like there's someplace I can run in to pee.
Just pee somewhere around there in the bushes.
I wasn't going to do that.
What do you mean? Fucking Jesus Christ, it's midnight. There's nobody, 2 a.m, nobody around.
Well, there were two other cars at the supercharger, and it was working just fine for them. Okay?
Okay.
It was working just fine for them, apparently.
All right. So it's a you problem. Okay.
So it's probably a you problem, but I'm like, well, where's the next closest supercharger? And, you know, there were a couple like ones and twosies superchargers that were low speed, and I ignored them. There was I never got the adapter thing to work properly, so I'm only going to Teslas or, you know, ones with Tesla plugs. But then, and actually, that's a thing. Like, I was like, maybe whatever was wrong with getting the adapter to work, which I've never gone back to ask a dealership about, because maybe there's a chance it was related to when Amy hit my car,
right,
if you remember.
Okay? Yeah.
Like, the normal charger worked fine, but the adapter never did, and I don't think I ever tried it before then. But anyway. For those of you who can't see, Yvonne is holding his head in his hands. He is appalled.
Holy fuck.
So,
yeah,
anyway.
Because here's the thing, right? Like, with my wife's car, and this is not even my car, I fucking went and myself double-checked to make sure that the stupid fucking charging was working, like, at the supercharger, even though we've never needed it, just to make sure. I tried the adapter. I'm like, I need to make sure this shit works.
Right. So anyway,
I can't be on a business trip and all of a sudden my wife is somehow low on charge and it doesn't fucking
stuck.
Work.
Yeah. Right. And so we had tried the adapter. It never worked.
I made sure like I had the issue where I had with the charging over here where it wasn't working. I made sure I
It's not just that you checked, because we checked. You just, when you found out it didn't work, you did something about it.
Yes! Correct!
Okay, that's the part I didn't do.
I fixed the problem. I went and I fucking spent like a whole day figuring out what the fuck the problem was. Which, by the way, I found out in my case, it was the form of payment. And the stupid ChargePoint app should have... I wanted the people at ChargePoint should be shot because, dude, really? You couldn't explain to me there was an issue with the form of payment?
Right.
You're going to tell me that was your problem?
Not quite, but you're getting warm. Okay.
Oh, fuck.
So I find the next supercharger and it's like another like 20, 30 miles up the road or something. And I have enough to get there, but I'm like, okay, here's the deal. If I get, like right now where I am, I'm like 3 miles from my wife's hotel. I could go to her hotel and figure it out in the morning. If, on the other hand, I go to this charger, there's a chance I won't be able to get home and I won't be able to get back to her hotel either. Okay?
Oh my gosh.
Oh God.
I decide to go to the next charger anyway.
Oh, no.
So I drive the extra 20 or 30 miles down the road to the next charger. And same damn thing. I try three or four different chargers at the spot. I'm like, maybe there's a loose connection. I try sort of just like holding the charger and in weird positions and seeing, you know, does it help if I shove it in harder? Maybe something's loose. And I call Brandy and I'm like, nothing's working. Nothing's working. What should we do? And I check the distance. I do have enough to get back to her hotel, barely. With like,
was there a trickle charger there, perhaps at that hotel or something?
No,
fuck.
No, not, but there, I could get back to her hotel with maybe 2 or 3 miles to spare. I'm like, okay, I will come to your hotel. We will call and get this like towed to a Hyundai dealership in the morning for them to check it out. There's obviously something wrong with the car. Okay, there's something wrong with the charger. I'm like, okay. Alex may have to miss school tomorrow if neither of us can get home in time to take him to school, whatever. But I'll do this because I'd left Alex at home. He was asleep when I left. Like, so, you know, I texted him a message of where I went in case he woke up.
He's an adult.
Adult. Close. He's 16. He can handle it.
In some places, he would be considered a legal adult.
No, we have no concerns about leaving. We could leave him alone for a week. He'd be fine. Okay.
Starving, yeah. But fine.
No, he would feed himself. He feeds himself all the time.
Oh, he would feed? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, he feeds himself. He's made Instacart orders for more groceries. You know, he can take care of himself.
Okay, so he won't starve. Okay.
He won't starve. He can take care of himself.
Okay.
Now, would what he eats be great? Probably not. But honestly, it would probably be better than when I'm feeding him. You know, like he'll make me dinner. He'll make me like hamburgers and stuff. And he's made Thanksgiving dinner for us. Like, so he'd be fine. He'd be better than us. Anyway, on the way back to our hotel, I'm like, I'll try that first supercharger one last time. It's only like a little bit off the highway. I'll try that one last time. I go there and I'm like, maybe I'll just try a different one. I will try one of the slots where I saw someone successfully charging a couple hours ago. And of course, nothing. Mm-hmm. And of course, this entire time driving back and forth, I'm like desperate to pee as well, you know? So I finally get to her hotel. I meet her there. I go, you know, I park the car in the hotel parking lot. I go in. I'm like, the whole plan is, you know, we'll call and we'll deal with it in the morning. I can sleep. And by this time, it's like 2:30 in the morning or something. I get in there. And of course, as I said, I desperately needed to pee. I go to the bathroom. And as you do, when you go to the bathroom, you pick up your phone. I look at my phone, I pop into my email, I see email from Hyundai. I see 15 emails from Hyundai. And what do you think those say, Yvonne?
Your credit card has been declined.
No.
No? Okay.
There are 15 emails saying that charging service is blocked because I have not accepted the revised terms of service.
Oh, get the fuck out of here. Sam, you live looking at your phone. How the fuck had you not looked at this?
There were no alerts. I had to go into my email and
Sam,
not even my
again,
priority
you
email.
Live looking at your
no,
fucking phone.
I don't look at my email very often. And when I look at my email...
Oh, well, not your email. You have said that, yes.
And my email, I have accounts that are set to VIP, and I almost always only look at the VIP mailbox. I only look at the other mailbox like every couple weeks, like that has my non-VIP mail. I just happened to poke in while I was, you know, in the bathroom, and I saw this. And so there were 15 fucking emails. And by the way, No alerts on the damn phone. Like, Hyundai sends me alerts. Hyundai's app sends me alerts if I leave the door unlocked for 20 seconds.
Exactly.
It doesn't send me an alert for this.
Yes. That is a big, massive fail. Yes.
and so, like, yeah. Like, I had to go into the app and then within the app go into a submenu. And then within that submenu, accept the terms of service. And then everything was okay. So I did at this point, like, sleep for several hours at the hotel. I was like, it's already 3 a.m. I slept. My intention was to sleep for like an hour and then get back on the road. In fact, I slept until like 8 a.m. or something. And then I got back on the road. But 8 or 9. But yeah, as soon as I accepted the damn terms of service, everything worked perfectly. But it didn't tell me. It didn't tell me. Like, if it had popped up in a little alert.
It's a similar fail to mine, except a different one. Because, I mean, I went and I had gone and, like, made sure, right, that I wasn't in a situation where I was in a almost out of charge to figure out that. I had a situation where, you know, I came home. The car had 30%. I tried to charge. It wouldn't charge. I didn't understand what the fuck was going on. Right. And the thing is that I could plug it into my garage on the trickle charger, just, you know, on the 110. And so I just went like, look, I'm going to put it in the garage and put it on the slow charger and let me see what happens. And then, and the thing is that I also tried to charge my Volvo and it wouldn't charge either. And I'm like, what the fuck? You can't charge either car. What the hell is going on? And I took it to a supercharger nearby and it worked perfectly. So I'm like, right. What the fuck? You know, but our chargers here are ChargePoint. The supercharger is FPL. It's a different account.
And you just hadn't set up the account properly or it had a different card?
Apparently the card had expired.
Okay.
But it didn't tell me that. I'm like, you know. Like you said about all these dumbass notifications. Hey, tell me the fucking card expired.
Right.
It didn't say anything.
Not a single warning.
Nothing.
Now, if I had gone into the app and looked in the right submenu of the app, I would have seen something. But I did. I never use the app when I plug into the chargers because I have it all set up to be automatic. I just plug in and it charges me and I don't have to look at a damn thing. You know, and so, no, I had not opened my Hyundai app. And so, yes, it's like, again, I get all these stupid notifications for all kinds of other things. And I shouldn't say stupid. I actually appreciate it when it tells me my car is unlocked that I forgot. And I lock the car, you know?
Yeah.
But at the same time, I would appreciate this one even more. And when I finally rolled into that charger in the morning after I figured this out, I had less than 5 miles on the thing. Like, if it had...
Well, You made it.
You
didn't get stranded.
If I had
expected... I fully expected Sam finally got stranded with no charge story. And no, I did not get that. You wound up, you know, barely eking it out. Yeah.
Barely eking it out. Because if I had run out, then I would have been stuck. I would have had to call somebody, would have had to do something, you know, get it, like, whatever. It would have been... Or if I had not looked at my email, this part of my email that I don't usually check, then we still would have called and had the thing towed in the morning, and they would have been like, you dumbass, everything's fine.
This shit is a reason why I even still to this day, even though I've got, like, you know, I'm using, like, with Apple Mail, I'm using the I don't use the VIP part that much, but I do, you know, my primary mailbox, I have the with Apple Mail, I have it set that I am getting my primary notifications there where it's filtered out enough that I'm not like before where I would get like 50 emails in my primary inbox. It's like yesterday, for example, in my primary inbox, I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10,
10 messages. Okay. You can scroll through those and whatever.
My stuff is still a mess. I tried the categorization that Apple Mail does now, and I hated it. So I went back to not having
and I'm
that.
Like, well, but I'm sorry, but once you get it sorted, it's just it is really easy. I got my transactions in one side. I got my primary receipt. I got the people that send newsletters and updates
on one side, and
I got promotions on another.
It didn't work for me. Not because it wasn't doing what it was supposed to be. It didn't work with my brain.
They work with your brain. But I still, even with that, I still occasionally will scroll through the junk just in case something is going there.
Oh, I still have to check my junk on a regular basis because there are routinely non-junk things in there. But anyway, that's a whole different
topic. I have to say that at least it's, I've got it set up right now that I'm not getting stuff. It's been a long time that something's gone to junk that shouldn't be there. Thank God.
I would bet you that if I opened my junk mail right now, I would find something within a few minutes if I looked. Of course, I'm doing that. Let's see. Do I find anything? Not in the first screen of stuff. Well, there's an email from Nextdoor, which technically speaking is not spam, but honestly, I don't really want it. So... Yo.
What do you mean it's not spam? Nextdoor is spam.
Well, I actually have the Nextdoor account, and I apparently did not set my preference to not have that particular email. So it's legit. It's not, you know, it's not some way I have no relationship with. But that's the only one. Oh. Here's one from my son's school district. Okay. So that's real. So two. In the first screen of about 50 messages, I found two that weren't spam. So anyway, so that was my story. That was my exciting story. I made it, but I was, you know, when I was in the bathroom, Brandy heard loud swearing suddenly coming out of the bathroom. and of course she's thinking...
She's thinking that you're feeling bad from the peak or something or whatever. It's like, you know.
Exactly. It's like, is he passing a stone? Is there an issue? Do we have to go to the hospital? No.
It's you saying, fuck, the stupid thing, fuck. Stupid fucking app, you stupid Hyundai idiots.
Exactly. So, anyway. That took a while. We'll forget the movies.
We'll skip the movies for this week.
I will give the preview. Next week will be Lawrence of Arabia from 1962. That's number 5 on the 1998 AFI list, and The Martian from 2015. So those will be the movies for next time. But in the meantime, we will take a break. And we will come back and we will talk actual news of the day back after this.
What?
No, that was bad. Oh, no, that was bad. No, I don't like that either. Once upon a rainbow. You were on the floor, eating the bugs that you found upon my face. No,
what?
Bye. Okay, we are back. So on serious newsy stuff, where do you want to start, Yvonne? We sort of, you know, you said TSA wasn't an issue for you. It was for other folks. We had the ICE folks there. We had the LaGuardia plane versus fire truck thing. We have Iran, of course.
Aviation. That way I can mix in the TSA and the accident.
Okay. Then we'll go from there.
Well, hey, Sam, what did the president do on Friday? Related to paying the TSA employees?
Oh, I was going to say he slept through some meetings, like he usually
does.
Well,
he did that too.
No, he signed an executive order.
Yeah, but Sam,
What did we find out when he signed the executive order? Did you read through the fine print of this? Because we found out that they had not run out of money to pay TSA employees. That they had chosen not to fucking pay TSA employees.
I was going to say, I've heard semi-conflicting things on this. One is that, in fact, they have not run out of money yet, and they could have been paying these people all along, and it was just an administration choice not to, specifically to sort of increase the pain or whatever.
Yes.
But also, I've heard, nevertheless, Trump's executive order to pay them is probably illegal, because that's not the right mechanism to do this, et cetera.
But the reality is that they had not run out of money.
Every other part of the Department of Homeland Security was being paid, except TSA.
Right.
And maybe a couple other stragglers. But, like, you know, the funding bill that was holding up was,
by the way, Global Entry was reopened, by the way, when I came back from Dominican Republic. Okay.
It was all of Department of Homeland Security that the bill is for, and various other parts were being paid properly. And, you know, there are all kinds of rules about in-government shutdowns, who gets paid, who doesn't get paid. There's a lot of discretion. There's a lot of determination of sort of what's critical, what's not, et cetera. So bottom line is it seems to be consensus that they could have paid these folks all along if they'd wanted to.
Right. And but they chose not to.
They chose not to.
And
of course, the problem that was happening in many airports, but not all, as you said, in your airport, there was no significant delays whatsoever in the trips you had. In other airports, there were delays of multi-hours to get through security lines.
But I don't know if you saw, I shared a chart. Houston was
the only bad one, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know, you didn't comment on this, but I actually said specifically, was this on purpose?
Right.
You know, given the name of the airport, that was Bush. Why I said that. Yes, George Bush Airport. These fuckers did that on purpose. Sam, every other airport was at 22 minutes. Houston was at 3 hours and 20 minutes.
So the thing is
this
about it.
This had to be intentional.
The only thing about it being intentional that I would question is, from what I understand, the airports. The reason there were trouble was, I mean, is that TSA employees, despite not being paid, were theoretically supposed to show up. But of course, some were calling out sick because they're like, fuck this, I'm not working for free. And so the places where there were delays were where more people were not showing up.
Right.
So, but that would be sort of under the control of the individual TSA employees, not like a choice from above. Unless somebody was like, hey, you Houston folks, why don't you all hang back? I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. Because, I mean, it's crazy. But you understand, here's the problem of, well, unless you use sick pay. Listen, if you don't show up to work, you're not going to get paid.
Well, they were calling out sick specifically.
Right. Okay.
Which presumably for these agents, there is sick pay. I don't know. Normally after these shutdowns, Congress pays them retroactively.
They get paid retroactively, right?
Yeah, I mean, Congress has to explicitly
if you don't show up to work, you're not going to get paid,
right? Unless it's a sick day and it's an approved sick day. So they were calling out sick. Now, do you actually believe everyone was sick at exactly the same time during the shutdown? No, but you know, what are you going to do? I guess they could ask them all for doctor's notes.
I guess. But 3 hours and 20 minutes in Houston. Right? I mean, like, if you looked at the chart, it was like 3 hours and 20 minutes in Houston, Phoenix, 20. I mean, Miami, like I said, look, checkpoint three, which I don't use checkpoint three. I usually use one nearby it, which has checkpoint. It was that checkpoint three had 15 minutes. Actually, I just realized right now. No, we did go through checkpoint three because Manu doesn't have pre-check. I keep forgetting about this. I'm going to have to signing up for. Now he's old enough, I got to sign him up for Global Entry.
Mm.
Otherwise, yeah. So I got to do that. And yeah, we did go to checkpoint 3. As a matter of fact, they actually, because they saw that we both had pre-check and he didn't, they actually let us cut in front of everybody. That was actually faster.
Okay.
So, but it's just,
and my whole thing is that they
didn't have to not pay TSA employees, but they chose to do so anyway.
Yes.
Because it's just the standard bullshit, fucking bullshit that we deal with every day with this fucking bullshit administration.
Well, and despite the executive order, and theoretically they could be paid as early as Monday, but despite this executive order, the actual funding of Department of Homeland Security still has not resolved.
Well, is that right? Because even though the Senate didn't make a deal, right?
They made a deal in the Senate, even though Donald Trump was yelling at them to not make a deal. But the Senate made a deal. They passed something through unanimous consent a couple days ago. And then the House was like, no, fuck that. I'm not doing that, because apparently they pay more attention to Donald than the Senate does. And they passed their own thing, which does not match at all, and which the Senate says is a non-starter in the Senate. And I think the difference is the Senate actually did make some nods towards adjusting ICE and funding for ICE and rules for ICE and things like that. And the House is not willing to do that at all. And so,
well, the House, well, the House.
Well, Speaker Johnson and leadership.
Okay, thank you. Yeah.
Right. Because this is yet another thing where, you know, you might end up with a discharge petition to override, but that takes a long time. You know, that's not going to happen anytime soon. That, you know.
Right.
And so, we'll see. We'll see. But if now that we're paying TSA, it's not going to be painful anymore. So there's no incentive to resolve it sooner rather than later.
Right.
So it'll just hang out there for a long time, probably.
Yeah. Yeah, now there's really no incentive to make a deal quickly anytime soon. Well, if they make the deal, they still haven't yet. So I I don't know. But the whole thing is that this is just my whole point about this is it's the standard substandard bullshit of these guys, and it's always a show. It's always bullshit. It's all bullshit. Nothing is what it seems. They're never making anything in terms of trying to solve a problem, legislation, whatever. They create problems. They fake create problems. This is the straw. Everything is a straw man. Like, and this is another one of them. So,
right?
I don't know. Well, going back to the issue at sticking with aviation, that crash at LaGuardia.
Right.
I shared some detailed information on this on the Slack. The thing is that at night at LaGuardia, they lower the number of people at control tower well below what is in the daytime, even though in many cases traffic is not lighter. Okay. And one of the things that they do is that they've got two runways that they combine their responsibilities for ground and so you've got a ground controller that is the one that supervises movements on the ground of vehicles and aircraft, okay, authorizes when an aircraft is supposed to cross a runway or not, et cetera, whatever. And then you've got the tower, okay, controller, which is the one that controls takeoffs and landings. Anybody that is in short, that is close to the airport, when you are about close, you know, because there's a departure controller and there's an arrivals controller that controls the airspace around the airport. Once you get very close to the airport, you switch to the tower, which is the one that gives you instructions for final land. Okay. So that's the tower controller. So they combine tower and ground at night. But look, at an airport like LaGuardia, that's too much work for one guy. It's just too much. But even still, here's the reality. The tower, you know, that controller that was doing both did clear the fire trucks that were involved in the incident to go across that active runway.
Explain the scenario that was happening.
Okay. So here's what happened. A United aircraft on the other side of the airport, okay, on the east side of the airport, had reported that they had fumes – that there was an issue and they needed emergency equipment right away. So for those fire vehicles to get there, they had to cross the active runway that was being used for takeoffs and landings, okay? So the vehicles called the ground controller to get clearance to go across. The controller cleared them to cross, but also he had cleared this Air Canada airplane to land at the same time. All of a sudden, after the controller did clear the ground, and he's looking, and they have radar that shows the vehicles on the ground. Not just the aircraft, but that shows what vehicles are on the ground, okay? The tower controller realizes that those vehicles have been cleared across, but there was an airplane landing. He calls out twice for, and he called out vehicle one, stop, 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 stop. He tried to get them to stop. Here's another thing that should have been at play. That airport has this lighting system that will, if you're an airplane or a vehicle approaching to cross an active runway, red lights will flash to tell you, hey, forget about it. Don't cross. Don't fucking cross. Now, people need to verify if they're working correctly. I mean, it's a system that's been installed in place at many airports for a long time. I see them all the time when I'm plane spotting work. You will see them like light up right there. They will be lighting up red until all of a sudden you get cleared. They go and they go white, so you can go onto the active runway. But that fire truck should have seen that. But here's the thing about it: the lead truck didn't stop. But when the stop got called out, ground radar showed that all the vehicles following him did. It was only that one that didn't stop.
Right.
So I'm not understanding what the hell happened in the communication inside the lead vehicle, that there were about 8 or 10 trucks that were heading over there. All of the other trucks heard the stop, but not the lead vehicle.
Right.
When the Air Canada plane landed and that vehicle crossed, there was nothing they could do. There was nothing they could do. They had no, they were going way too fast. It was too close to the point where they landed. They were doing over 100 knots. They're fucked. There's nothing they could do. So now the investigation has to go is to understand why the heck that lead vehicle, despite the fact that it got told to stop twice, despite the fact that it had flashing red lights, why the heck all the other vehicles understood the command to stop and he didn't. The controller did make a mistake to clear them. However, the controller did call
correct
back
it.
To ask to correct it to stop
and,
with
and
enough
would
time
have been
that they
in time.
Should have stopped. Yes, absolutely.
And to be clear, we should learn more about this. The people in the fire truck survived.
Yes.
You know, they had to be hospitalized. I don't know their current condition, but they survived.
Now, the question is, of course, if they're going to get fed. I make sure that they're going to fess up. Why the hell they fucked up?
Oh, well, I'm sure they are already lawyered up. If not, they should be.
They should be. Yeah, that's my concern right now. Was it an equipment failure or did they fuck up? I guess that's the good, because it could have been an equipment failure as well.
Like did nothing
like radio equipment,
radio.
Something. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They just weren't working right. Something. Yeah. So that's a possibility. Those systems work very well. Did the ground light system with the flashing red lights did it not activate for some reason? And that's something that needs to be determined as well. It needs to be tested.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the reason why that's been put around almost every airport around the U.S. And that's something that has reduced those kinds of runway incursions a lot. And it's a system that people depend on. So we got to check to see if that system was working properly. But
yeah,
it's very unfortunate, man, because the controller made a mistake, but the controller caught his mistake. But the reality is that the reason the controller made the mistake is because there was no reason he should be doing that job by himself with that much traffic in the air.
Right.
This was not the controller's fault.
Yeah. The other thing here, though, is it actually seems remarkable that we only had the pilot and co-pilot die.
Oh, yeah.
You know, given the nature of the accident.
A lot of people did get hurt on the plane.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Lot of concussions, a lot of people like slamming their heads into the seat in front of them, things like that. but only two dead. And and I gather the and some people weren't injured at all.
The emergency vehicles, thankfully, were right there. There was an entire gaggle of them.
Yes.
It didn't take too long to get rescue on it.
Yeah. I guess it probably delayed the attention to that other plane that had the smell,
yes,
or whatever.
Yes, the other plane had it was a fume incident. You know, I don't know how they dealt with, you know, they dealt with that. They were, yeah, so. They had been originally, the other plane had been trying to avoid evacuating the airplanes, and they were trying to get the fire trucks over there for them to, I'm assuming they finally, they probably evacuated that plane because of the fumes.
So, I mean, in this case, like you said, there were a bunch of people injured enough to go to the hospital. There were a bunch of people who walked off the damn plane without anything.
Yep.
The pilot and co-pilot died. There was one stewardess who was ejected from the plane, found 300 feet away, and needed medical attention, but will be fine in the end.
Thank God.
You know, so I heard, you know, some conflicting reports on, like, you know, did the pilots do things that helped, even though, like, they ended up dying? Like, you know, like, for instance, if they had tried to swerve to avoid the truck, it probably would have made things worse, not better. Because, like, it, given the speed they were going, given the amount of time they had, if they
would have flipped the plane over.
It would have flipped the plane over or hit on the wings that still had fuel in them and caused a fire.
Yeah.
You know, and I've heard a little bit of conflict over whether they were able to slow down more than they would have on a normal landing, so that to just be a little bit slower when they hit the truck. I don't know. Maybe that helped a little bit, maybe not. But it clearly could have been a lot worse.
Oh, it could have been a lot worse. But it really, I really feel bad for those pilots. They really just, there's nothing they could do. They were just at the worst possible moment, something like that to happen. It's one of those where, you know, I still remember, it reminds me of this car accident that we had, where we were driving down to I was a passenger, where this guy just ran a stop sign right at the moment that we're coming through. And it's just this helpless feeling. It doesn't matter how good you're driving. There's nothing to do. Nothing to do. All I did was close my eyes, put my hands over my head, and said, oh shit. Because there was nothing else to do.
Yeah. And there are a lot of scenarios that end up being like that. I mean, you talk about, first of all, if you're the driver, driving carefully, driving defensively, all that kind of stuff. But there's some scenarios where there's just absolutely nothing
you can do. I mean,
you remember a few years ago where, sort of across the street from where I was working in Seattle, a crane fell on the damn road.
Right.
You know, and you know, there was dash cam
video.
Yeah,
what are you going to do? Right.
You know, there was somebody that was at a stoplight.
Right.
Red light, waiting for it to turn green, and a crane fell on the car.
Right.
Nothing
you can do. What defensive driving technique are you using in order to avoid a crane falling on your car?
Right. You know, but yeah. And of course, the same thing for pilots in this kind of situation, obviously. Right. It's just like the thing that happened too late and at a time where there was nothing to do.
Nothing to do, unfortunately.
Okay. Anything else aviation-wise before we move on to another topic?
Nope.
Okay. Let's see. What do we do then? I guess I ran.
I fucking ran. How's it going, Sam? Are we winning?
Oh, yes, clearly. Well, I mean, I keep hearing
Donald
Trump's...
Hey, did you notice that the Iranians hacked Kash Patel's private email? Talk about the great... We have the dumbest fucking heads of anything ever.
Uh-huh. I would say at least it wasn't his work email, but reality of these guys is they don't use their work email. They're using their personal email for government duties. They're using Signal. You know, You know, from previous history, it's remarkable that they're not like signaling journalists about what they're doing anyway.
Right.
You know, so no, they're using, I mean, if you remember just in the early days of this war, there were pictures released of like, you know, Trump and his advisors at Mar-a-Lago managing the start of the war with a black curtain separating them from the diners that are just at Mar-a-Lago as customers.
Why are they so stupid? Okay, fine. Take your stupid positions. That's fine. You know, but why are they just so stupid about even this shit? What is it? I don't get it. I mean, even Putin, with all his despicable positions, manages operational security of his shit a lot better than this. I mean, okay, so these guys are assholes. I mean, the problem is that okay, Putin is an asshole, an evil one, but not stupid. These guys are evil, stupid assholes.
Right.
Fuck!
They are, but I keep hearing Donald Trump say over and over and over that we've completely destroyed and obliterated and blah, 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 but we're still going to go for a couple weeks, but then we'll be done.
Okay. The Economist gave the perfect quote about this, where they said that, what was it? They said that yes, Donald, you said that you obliterated, you know, all their capability, 100% of their military capability, but it's amazing how much damage to the world economy that 0% of their capability is doing.
Yeah. I've heard. Yes.
This is so stupid. Well,
the latest I've heard, by the way, is that in addition to the oil that is not going through the Gulf of Hormuz. Yeah, the Gulf of Hormuz. Well, I'm trying to be careful because it's
really all these fucking names. I have the Strait of Hormuz. Now we're calling it the Gulf of Hormuz.
Well, also the thing that
should be the name of the episode, the Gulf of Hormuz. Yes.
The mistake that I've made myself, that I've heard others make as well, including Donald Trump, by the way, is to make it plural straits. It is not the Straits of Hormuz. It is a single Strait of Hormuz. Okay? You know, it is one, not multiple.
Not multiple.
Right. So, anyway, in addition to the oil that's not getting through, there are apparently some necessary raw materials for making fertilizer. That is not going through.
Yeah, that
and
been, yeah.
Apparently it's starting to cascade because there are fertilizer manufacturing plants in Bangladesh and elsewhere that are shutting down because
prices have been going through the roof. Yes, that's correct. Yeah,
and this
it's part
is
part of the winning, Sam. It's part of the fucking winning.
Well, this is one of those things that also cascades because, you know, first the fertilizer prices go up, then fertilizer becomes harder to get because the price is going up and just supply, which then affects agriculture, which then affects food prices, which then affects food availability. You know,
You don't understand the 6D chess that we're playing, Sam. It's just, this is the thing. We're winning, Sam. We are winning. We have eliminated 100% of their military capability, Sam. 100%.
Well,
now
yes.
We need to get rid of the other 100%, I guess.
Well, from what I understand, though, Iran is making deals on a one-off basis at a time with different countries, different freighters,
Sam, to let specific things through. That is complete bullshit anyway. It doesn't matter. This whole thing about cutting one-off deals. Nobody is going to go and sail a ship through a fucking shooting war. Okay? Most
Most
there have been a few going through.
Very tiny amounts.
But the point is, some of those are because of these one-off deals, which are gaining, you know, Iran's making money off it.
But Sam, it doesn't matter.
Oh, no, it won't affect the global. It's not enough to affect. No, here's the thing. It's not enough to affect the global economic situation. It is enough for Iran to claim some specific victories and to gain some cash.
Yeah, that's it. But
we have eased sanctions on Iran.
Iran's oil. We fucking eased sanctions on the fucking Iranian oil anyway. So what the hell? We gave the fucking money.
Yes.
And the Russian oil.
Yeah, this is the point. Like, if you start, and this harkens back to the conversation we had a couple weeks ago on this, where the way that the Trump administration is calling this a success is, look at all the shit we blew up. Look at all the people we killed.
Listen, apparently Donald Trump is getting a daily, like, clip. It's like a
video.
It's like
clip.
A YouTube video clip. It's like
2 minutes.
A 2 minute of like just shit being blown up,
right?
You know, and he obviously, it's one of those montages that I'm sure looks cool in the abstract, right? And for a dumbass like him, makes him feel like he's totally winning.
Yes, and this is the thing. If you are grading solely on shit blown up and people killed, you can rattle off the list of the things you've blown up. We've apparently dropped a shit ton of weaponry on it between us and Israel. We have blown up lots of things. We have killed lots of people. Now, 200 of them were innocent schoolgirls, but whatever. We killed a bunch of people.
But whatever.
Whatever.
Listen. You're channeling what they would say. 200 innocent schoolgirls.
Yes, this is
whatever.
Not my.
They weren't that innocent.
Oh,
they weren't that innocent. They're Iranians. You know.
Anyway, however,
I'm sorry. Is that what they? I'm sure that's what they were saying.
Yeah, I'm sure. Now, however, if you start looking at potential strategic goals here, okay, regime change.
Strategic.
We have succeeded in getting someone more hardline than where we started. Win, right? Yeah, clearly a win.
Not just that, but listen, we have emboldened Iran.
We have emboldened them.
Why would they make a deal right now? For deal of what? For what?
Yes, and look, all sorts of. If you look at, there's probably a half dozen different strategic goals that you could potentially say were a goal of this endeavor or excursion, as Donald Trump says. Every single one of these strategic measures, as opposed to how much shit did we blow up, is going the wrong direction. So, like, this is completely backfired in terms of any of these other things, you know, and look, Donald Trump is saying now that he has delayed the next phase of like blowing up power plants and stuff multiple times now, because we are in healthy, fruitful negotiations with the Iranians on a way out.
Okay.
So
do you believe this?
I am trying.
Do you believe this? No. Yes or no question. Do you believe that statement?
I believe something is happening, but not what Donald. Let me explain what I think. Okay. Because I have been trying to parse Donald Trump's completely addled statements that clearly are not well tied to reality, to try to figure out what might actually be going on, okay? Because he has said we are in fruitful negotiations, and when asked who we are in negotiations with, has been like, no, we're not talking to the Ayatollah. No, we're not talking to this group. No, we're not talking to that group. What I think is happening is they are talking to some random Iranian that they hope might be able to take over once they kill a few more of the current leadership.
This sounds like the Ahmed Shalabi of Iran.
Who was a exiled Iraqi, for those who don't remember, who hoped to become president of Iraq after the U.S. killed Saddam.
Hey, how did that work out, Sam?
That did not work out at all. But I think that's what's happening here. I think when they are saying they're talking to Iranians and negotiating with Iranians, they are talking to some random Iranian who's not actually in a position of power, but they hope could be the head of a puppet government after they kill a few more people. That's what I think is happening.
Great. Sounds awesome. It's like, you know, I mean, listen, there was this guy who during the financial crisis, right as the 2008 financial crisis, right as Bernie Madoff went down, there was another guy that went down with a similar Ponzi scheme, but that does not get as much coverage for it. It was, I think, if I remember his name, is Fred Dreyer, right?
Mark
Dreyer. Yes, Mark Dreyer. Okay, well, let me tell you the thing that he was, one of the things that he was trying to do to further his scheme near the end that is the one thing that almost brought him down. He was trying to sell these notes, okay? And he claimed that they were from an insurance company somewhere in Canada, if I remember correctly. And so he went and somehow he got access to the office of the insurance company, got access to a conference room, and sat down in there to negotiate the sale of these securities like he was part of the insurance company. But all he did was manage to hijack a conference room into place to act like he was the insurance company. And this is kind of like the people I feel that this administration is talking at in Iran. It's some fucking guys that decided to go and say, hey, we'll talk to you. Okay? Well, yeah. Well, you know, we'll make a deal with something, whatever, blah, blah, blah. They got the Pakistanis in the middle, which I believe are trying to also curry favor with Trump in some way. And so they're saying that they're talking to them, but who the fuck knows who the hell they're talking to anyway? You know? Might as well. They're probably just bullshitting him anyway. Because, by the way, he doesn't, you know, because if you were a real president, okay, you'll be using your intelligence services to figure out and ferret out who the fuck you're talking to and making sure that whatever you're talking to is a real source. Instead, you know, this is like, hey, bro, I trust you, baby. Okay, yeah. You tell me what the fuck it is, you know, and that's who they're talking to.
Like, meanwhile, the actual Iranian leadership, which, by the way, apparently the new Ayatollah has not been seen in a while. So there are rumors that maybe he was significantly injured and maybe he's not dead, but he's not really functional. But the folks who are talking in Iranian leadership are 100%. Why would we ever negotiate with the Americans again? The last two times that we were negotiating with them, right in the middle of the negotiations, where we, by the way, were offering real things and real concessions, right in the middle of that, they attack us. So why would we bother? There's no trustworthy negotiation. We had a deal that we made with Obama that was really strict and it had a whole bunch of stuff on it, and it was going well. And Donald pulled out of that thing last time, and then these last two times they've attacked us during negotiations. Why would we ever do that again? If you remember, in one situation, the Israelis even attacked the negotiating team, you know, at their hotel in, yes, I forget which Gulf state it was. You know, why would we trust any of this? And that's completely legitimate. Why would they? Why would they? There's no incentive for it whatsoever.
Well, I mean, the deal was terrible, Sam.
And look, apparently, they were offering stuff close to the previous Obama deal this time around, if not ahead of it in certain areas. And, you know, but it certainly appears that, you know, the Trump administration didn't actually care. It was all just a sideshow. Like, they didn't really want a deal. They wanted to do this. Although there's some question about that, too. It may have been one of these things where Trump was going back and forth and this Netanyahu was just the last person he talked to before he gave the yes, you know, to do the attack. But I don't know, Yvonne. We still have all kinds of taco opportunities. Donald Trump has not bombed the power facilities and such because Iran said, you know, you do that, we're going to bomb similar facilities all throughout the Middle East. You know, and so Donald apparently backed out, apparently, and he's talking about these negotiations that are going well. Donald could stop our involvement at any moment. There's a question whether Iran would back off. There's a question of whether Israel would back off. But do you believe that in another 2 weeks, we'll all be done here? Everything back to normal?
No! No! There's no way, no!
And by the way, even if hostilities stopped tomorrow, all of the like price implications of this stuff, they don't reset in a week. That's going to take a long time to rebalance and get things back.
And listen, the inflationary effects that we have right now are going to last a very, very long time. This is a worst scenario that they have created related to inflation in the economy right now.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, I feel like we've already got baked in, I mean, at least through the end of this year, right? Even if things get better right away?
Oh, yeah. I mean, listen, the supply shock of oil isn't going to get rectified anytime soon. So this is going to create a serious issue in terms of prices, in terms of everything. It's like these shocks don't go away that quickly. And so when you have depleted inventories, when you've got like fuel shortages, one of the things that's going to happen is people are going to start hoarding supplies also, which that drives up prices. Mm-hmm. No, I mean, like right now, listen, $5 a gallon for regular gas right now is real. It's here.
Yeah.
And it's not going away anytime soon.
I shared a picture to the Curmudgeon's Corner Slack of one gas station near my son's school that's at $6 for regular. Now, to be fair, it's the most expensive I've seen around here. Almost everywhere else is between $5 and $5.50. But there's this one that's at $6. I don't know how they can get away with it when all the ones around them are $5.50, but whatever. Location, I guess.
Listen, it probably, let me tell you something. One of the things about gasoline prices is having, like, my uncle had a gas station, so I remember how they set prices a lot of the time. So it depends on when to get shipments. Okay, all right. So they will set the price depending on when the last shipment of gas that came in. You're a gas station. You will be paying for spot price for gasoline as it arrives at that moment, and then from that you will set price. And so, you know, if it's a high volume gas station, they get pretty frequent shipments. Your price, you're going to have to push the price up immediately, because if you get a new tanker that you fill up and it's 25% more than the last one, you can't sell it at $4 when you paid $5. You know?
Yeah, and that's why I said location as well, right? Because if it's in a good location, like this one gas station that's at $6. There are cheaper gas stations nearby, but not within sight. It's a little different than when it's the one like 30 feet down the road, right? You know, the people driving by are going to go to the cheaper one if they can see both of them at the same time.
When they're like right across the street sometimes. Yeah, that does happen with gas stations across the street where they have. But eventually what I'm saying is that the other gas station gets their next shipment, their price is going to go back up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So we're fucked.
Nice. Well, I mean, the one good thing from my point of view on this is the more this kind of stuff is fucked, the better the Democrats are going to do in November. So
listen, this is, I mean, you want to talk about bad scenarios for a party. Okay. This is almost as bad as 2008, like right now. Okay. It's going towards 2008, 1980 type. But here's the thing. Even in 1980, the Democrats didn't lose the House. Well, of course, the Democrats held the House forever, okay?
It was like 50 plus years.
Tip O'Neill law until Newt Gingrich. Yeah. Yeah.
And you say they didn't lose, but I think they lost ground. Like they lost, they just had enough of a buffer that
they didn't lose it for fucking 50 years. Okay. You know? So, I mean, this is a very different territory than 1980. We can't compare it.
Yet.
Yet.
Yes. We can, never underestimate the potential for this administration to make things worse.
Oh, God. Yeah. I mean, that is one thing that they are being quite impressive at just fucking with everything. And the thing is that right now, everything they are doing is so unpopular and they keep doubling and tripling down on it. And it's like, but of course, they go and they show Trump all these videos of the bombs, right? So he's like, yay, look, my bombs, they're so cool. Look at all those cute little bombs over there killing all those people. It's like, listen, they were playing, the DOD was putting out fucking videos combining video fucking game footage with fucking war footage. Like, this is some kind of game, not like we're killing people.
Meanwhile, and I shared this on a Curmudgeon's Corner Slack, Iran put out, honestly, a really good music video with like Lego versions of Donald Trump and everybody.
Oh my God, they did a brilliant job. You know, this is one of these things where I'm just like, man, look, let me tell you something. On the one side, I mean,
100% propaganda, but come on, it was good.
But yes, but it was good. But this is what I'm cheering on the Iranian side, a brutal repressive regime that has murdered so many people, that oppresses them, that kills gays, that kills whatever, puts people in prison without any due process, and blah blah blah, whatever. Okay, it's a horrible regime. On the right side, I got fucking Donald J. Trump, who is also an evil asshole on it. And I'm having to, I never thought that I would be on the cheering side for Iran on something. They put out that video and I'm like, this is brilliant. They are right. What the fuck can I say? I can't argue about anything they put on this fucking video. Not one fucking thing. Nothing.
It was things about Donald Trump making people's lives worse. It was about him doing this to distract from the Epstein file. It was about, search up the Iranian Lego propaganda video. It's worth a watch. Honestly, it's funny. It's got a song behind it that's actually catchy. You know,
yeah.
And like Yvonne said, most of what they say in there, you look at it and you're like, you know, they're right about this part. They're right about that part. You know, there are parts where they're like calling for revenge and stuff.
You can't argue against almost none of it.
You know, anyway, one other thing about Donald that I'll say, and then let's wrap up. I'd sent something about this to the Curmudgeon's Corner Slack, and Yvonne's like, you know, Sam, nobody cares. And I agree, nobody cares. But Donald Trump's mental state is getting worse. Mental and physical state is getting noticeably worse, like
Sam,
on a week-to-week basis.
But the
basis.
Thing is that, listen, I know, but we've talked about it for so long, and the Republicans don't give a fuck. They are not going to do a goddamn thing about it.
No, they are not, and they're actively covering for it, if anything. I mean, I mentioned earlier him falling asleep. I think Hegseth was talking or something, and Donald Trump was sitting right next to him, 2 feet away, and was clearly asleep. Hegseth sort of like mentioned his name a couple of times to try to get him to wake up, and he sort of like, you saw his eyes roll a little bit, you know, and he's saying things that are, I mean, and look, we're grading on a curve here. We're talking against, like, Donald Trump was never particularly hinged to begin with, but he's even more unhinged now. Like, the things he's saying and how much they are or are not related to reality,
the worst thing is,
it's getting worse.
You know what?
Listen, what really pisses me off to no end now is where the fuck are all these people that kept complaining about Biden's mental state? Fuck you all. Okay? Fuck you all in hell. Okay?
Yes. I mean, hell, even during the 2024 campaign, like, with everything you could say about Biden, Trump was arguably worse even then. He's definitely worse now. You know, he, like, and
way yeah, worse.
And there's something
hey,
you could be.
Where is Jake Tapper's expose on Trump's mental fucking facilities, huh? Where the fuck is his expose? You know what? That prick, still to this day, and I swear to God, if I bump into that guy, I'm going to yell at him. Okay? if I bump into that asshole, that fucking part about, well, they were considering putting him in a fucking wheelchair. Hey, Sam, have you seen Rin right now, even with cancer, being rolled around through airports in a fucking wheelchair?
No. No. I've seen recent pictures of him getting ice cream again on planes, at the airport, and like, you know,
all walking
people.
By himself.
Yeah.
And that's with cancer.
And by the way, even if he had to be in a wheelchair, that says absolutely nothing about his mental state and what matters. You know, we had a president in a wheelchair before.
He is. You have seen him interacting with people, random interactions with so many people. Has he sounded like an incoherent, blubbering idiot that our president right now sounds like?
No. No, no, no. But
I swear to God, that motherfucker, better Jake Tapper, never, ever I see that fucking guy in front of me. Because that guy will experience a screaming match that he will have never gotten in his life.
Well, and for looking back at 2024, the problems with Trump's mental state and with Biden's mental state were different. You know, when you look at Biden, okay, he's tired sometimes, but he's still smart.
Biden was tired.
Whereas
Biden was tired. And a couple and went to that debate sick with a fucking cold.
With Donald Trump, the issue going back decades, not all of this is new, is the stupid narcissistic personality disorder. The fact that he doesn't distinguish truth from fiction at all. He believes that's like irrelevant.
Never.
The fact that he has zero reading comprehension, he's just not that smart in general, can't like really absorb the materials that you need to be a competent president. And frankly, just the whole fact of like, I guess this is encompassed in the narcissistic personality disorder, but it's all about him. It's all about him.
It's all about
the time, you know, and these are all problems.
Hey, Sam, have we confirmed who the former president is that he talked to about the war like recently?
It was probably George Washington. Okay. Look.
Is the ghost of George Washington in the White House? Oh, okay. All right. That's it.
Exactly. No, you know, George Washington never lived in the White House. It was built after him. But no.
Aren't there any pieces? When they did the remodeling, there's some things from George Washington.
They're George Washington artifacts, but he did not live in. He did not live in the White House. He did not die in the White House.
No, he didn't. But
so
I'm
his
like,
ghost
thinking,
is
you know,
somewhere
hey,
else.
Thinking, yeah.
His ghost is off in Mount Vernon or something.
Well, okay, fair enough. Fair enough. Fair enough.
Was Mount
fair
Vernon? That was George Washington's.
Yeah,
place,
Mount
right?
Vernon.
Yeah, Mount Vernon. Yeah.
Yeah, Mount Vernon. Yeah, but Mount Vernon. It was Mount Vernon. Yeah. So Mount Vernon. Yeah.
Anyway, fair I just want to say, like, in terms of Trump's own mental state, I mean, the falling asleep is a physical thing, but and I'm not saying some people are directly saying dementia. I'm not going there. I'm just saying pre-existing problems he has had are getting worse over time. That's all I'm saying. And so, like, you get him, when you listen to his speeches, he's confused, He's rambling. He's saying things that are nonsensical. He's getting facts wrong. And all of these things are happening at an increasing pace. And he was never good at any of this stuff to begin with. Never, ever, ever.
And now they are worse.
And now they are worse. And they seemingly are getting worse quickly. So I don't know. And like you said, like, nobody seems to care. The Republicans certainly don't care. The mainstream media isn't talking about it a lot. Like, you know, they're all, they'll write an article about, like, he'll give a little news conference. And when they write about it, they'll sanitize it all and try to like I did when I was like, oh, he's probably talking to the, you know, these people in Iran who aren't the people in charge, but he hopes they'll be in charge. I am trying to interpret, like,
you're saying watching it.
Yeah, I'm saying, watch, I'm trying to find some aspect of reality out of what really most likely are just incoherent ramblings, you know? So, I don't know. Are we done, Mr. Bo?
Yes.
Okay. So, let me wrap this sucker up. Go to curmudgeons-corner.com. You'll find all of the ways to contact us. You'll find our archives. You'll find transcripts. You'll find all that kind of stuff. You will, of course, also find a Patreon where you can give us money. Money is nice. Give us money. And at various levels on the Patreon, we will mention you on the show. We will ring a bell. We will send you a postcard. We will send you a mug. All of that kind of stuff at $2 a month or more. Or if you just ask us, we will invite you to the Curmudgeon's Corner Slack, which we have mentioned quite a few times on this show of like, oh, well, we discussed this on the Slack. We shared this on the Slack. We share all kinds of stuff. We talk about things. We, whatever, the news. Like, while we have been talking, Yvonne has simultaneously been having a conversation about his condo association on the Slack. So all kinds of things are going on all the time.
I shared my campaign. Okay, I did. And if you look at it, look.
I have not opened
look
the link
because
I've been paying attention to you.
My campaign site right now, you should take a page from mine. You should take a page from my campaign site for your wife's in terms of the issues part.
Because
if you look at my issues part,
yes,
I am fucking detailed as I will put anybody to shame on details about the issues, the facts, an action plan, what we're doing, whatever. It's nauseatingly thorough. Okay. Let me just put it to you this way. Okay. Mm-hmm. It is nauseatingly thorough. Okay. And backed up with just a ridiculous amount of detail. Okay. All right. I took the opportunity to expose my nemesis. I downloaded all our text messages and I summarized them so they could see clearly how he was lied that while saying that I was never cooperative. He in saying that publicly in private text messages, he repeatedly said the opposite.
Okay.
So I downloaded our entire there was a massive trove of text. I saved them all. I summarized them and have it there in detail to expose him as a fucking lying piece of shit he is.
There you go. That's very nice. So aside from that, Yvonne, what's a highlight from the Curmudgeon's Corner Slack that we have not talked about on the show that will make people want to join our Patreon or our Slack?
It's related to air travel, but really isn't. Okay. All right. And I will say, here's the thing. This happened the first time over the years, airlines have combined train or bus travel together with air travel as like a one ticket. Okay. So a flight segment may appear on an airline ticket as a flight segment, but may actually be on a train. This is something I had heard that is rare, has been rare, but has happened, okay? In the 80s, I remember specifically out of out of Newark specifically. There was a way, you know, it was at a New York area airport where you could combine a certain portion of the travel by air or bus to get to certain places in order to complete your trip. Okay.
Okay.
And so
okay.
The thing about it is that allowed all you could to be able to pay it on your airline ticket. And so you're not buying a separate bus ticket and whatever. So you get your entire transportation all in one. But it's not common. Okay. It's very uncommon. And so a few months ago on a podcast I listened to, somebody was going to South Bend, Indiana. And there are planes that travel from Chicago to South Bend, Indiana. But
okay.
American Airlines went and substituted that with a bus. Okay. And so all of a sudden, and the thing is that you board the bus from from a gate at the airport. Okay.
Okay.
So the thing is that he goes and he lands in Chicago. He's going to the gate for his connection. And then he gets taken down to a bus. And then he thinks that the bus is going to take him to the plane. But no, the bus was taken up to South Bend. Okay.
Excellent.
And it arrived at the airport and it left him not like at a bus depot, but it drove to like where the planes arrived and then offloaded them there and his bags. And this was very confusing. So a story came out about this, you know, on the Washington Post, you know, about this when your first class flight turns out to be a bus ride. Some airlines are operating bus routes as flights from small communities to larger. And the one thing that why some people are confused, as I realize, is that if you're buying this now, not from the airline website, okay, but you're buying it from a third party.
Like an Expedia or
something. It's not obviously clear. Yeah, it's not obviously clear that it's a bus. And that's where people, like, because you go to American Airlines, you know, you buy it from there, it's very, very obvious that part of the trip is on a bus. But these people went on Expedia or whatever, bought this thing, and then all of a sudden, you know, they're like, wait a minute, what the fuck? A bus? And it's a nice bus. By the way, some people have mentioned that, and I've seen the bus. I'll tell you what, this is nicer than some planes, this bus.
Okay, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, especially the economy class, like, jammed in on some airlines, right? Like, buses usually have, you know, you have a decent amount of legroom, for instance, you know? So
it's a luxury coach. It is a luxury coach bus. It's not, you know, it's a very nice, if you go into the article, you see the pictures, it's a very nice bus.
It's not a 1980s school bus.
No. Nothing of the sort. It's even got fold down tables like on the airplane and everything, you know? It's got video screens, fold down, Wi-Fi.
Very good. Okay.
So anyway.
Nice thing. I will do my obligatory Robin Letter promotion too. Trailing 4-week active users is up to 80. So that's good, you know, but, and I suspect, since I've mentioned it on a show several times, anybody who's interested here has already contacted me. So I've stopped like inviting my own people. So I have to figure out what the next growth burst will be and how I will engineer that. But, there are three Robins that have been created that I am not personally on at this point. And all three of them seem to be active over the last few days. So that's going well.
There you go.
So we'll see. We'll see. Yvonne's presumably still working on getting the millions from this for this for me. And I am working on getting the individual dollar bills.
I was traveling, but I have modified the documents and stuff. I have some action items that I had. I had been traveling this last week. I've been busy, but I had promised to catch up on it this week when I got back. So
that's all cool. And I've been slogging through some behind the scenes stuff, like improving metrics collection and stuff like that, that hasn't had a new user impact. I've got a list of things to get through. I've got a couple bugs before I get to the next new major things that users would be able to tell. So I have to decide when my next like social media posts and stuff to try to get more people are. Yeah. Anyway, we'll see. Anyway, robinletter.com. If you're not on it, hit me up in email and I'll get you on it, because it's still an invite only mode. So you can't just go to the website and sign up. You have to talk to me or be invited by somebody who's already on
invite.
Anyway, That's it. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Have a safe week, all that. I'm about to go to, by the time you guys listen, it'll be long over, but I'm about to go to the No Kings stuff. This is the third No Kings event, and Brandy and I are going to try to hit probably two or three of them in our area over the next little bit. So we'll see how many people they get this time. Honestly, the hype for this one seems to have been a bit less than last time. So I know they hope that these are going to be even bigger than last time, but I'm not sure if we'll end up there because I heard less about these in the run-up. Like, only in the last few days was I really aware, oh, there's one coming up this weekend. So we'll see. But I'm going to go. So that's it. Have a safe week. Have a fun week. Blah, blah, blah. And we will talk to you next time. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Hold on. The outro's not playing. Okay. Oh, wait. Is it going? Is it going? Yes. Okay. Thanks, Yvonne. We'll talk to you later. Have a good rest of your whatever. Bye.
Okay. Bye.